I'm Marcus Smith, and this is Constant Wonder. This month, as Christmas draws near, join me on a journey called Advent. Constant Wonder will mark this venerable tradition, a calendar of hopeful anticipation, with daily short episodes. A new Advent experience every day all the way through the 25th. Together with special guests, we'll seek out the wonder and awe felt by so many people during this season of hope, reverence, peace, and goodwill. It's December 5th. Advent traditions encourage us to lean into the metaphor of darkness pierced by radiant light. The entire Christmas season reminds us that we ourselves can light the world. You may already know about the annual campaign called Light the World from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's the church that sponsors BYU Radio and thus also Constant Wonder. At the website lighttheworld.org, you can find links to a wide array of opportunities to donate time or money to help light the world. In this episode of the Constant Wonder Advent series, we're going to spotlight another such opportunity as we speak to someone whose life was completely transformed by an organization called Ripple Effect, an organization that works in rural Africa. There's a well-known invitation in the New Testament encouraging us not to hide our light under a bushel. The world is simply a better place when we train our sights on exemplary humans who lift others up, letting the light of their generous spirit shine. In this podcast, we routinely open with an acknowledgement that awe and wonder can be sensed in human striving and human kindness. Maybe you've made charitable donations, perhaps to the Red Cross, a relief agency, to your church's mission, or other humanitarian funds. That's all reason to celebrate. But wouldn't it be nice to know what happens on the far end of that donation, to learn what transpires in the lives of recipients who may live a world away? Isaac Ogutu is a native of Kenya, and his life was changed by an unusual donation from far away. He was only 16 years old, living with his parents, twin sister, and younger brother, when his family received the gift of a cow that transformed their lives.
That cow was able to transform my life, transform the life of my siblings, and also change our family forever.
Before they received this cow, Isaac's parents worked menial jobs, weeding sugarcane fields and crops of maize for farms located more than 6 kilometers from their home, and the pay was not reliable.
They could go to weed and they come back without anything because the person who gave them that work did not pay them that day. We could sleep and wait for the next day tomorrow.
The young children of the family were sometimes enlisted by their parents to assist in the fields in order to cover more ground and make more money.
To help pay our school fees and also pay for our daily food and daily needs.
Then the family heard about Send a Cow. Send a Cow was precursor to an organization now called Ripple Effect, with roots going back to 1988 in England, 4,000 miles away from where Isaac Ogutu and his family were living. Here's CEO Paul Stewart.
Two things happened. On the one side, there was a Ugandan bishop who, after many years of conflict, was praying and asking for support, and he came to the UK and visited churches and shared that message. And at the same time, there was a group of Christian West Country farmers, dairy farmers, and they heard this, and they'd been looking for ways to help. They had large herds of dairy cattle. There was an EU milk quota limit that meant that farmers had limits on the amount of milk they could produce. And that meant that in many cases, they had to kill cows or spill milk on the soil. There would be penalties if you went over that quota. So the two came together. They met at farm kitchen tables, and gradually a plan was concocted to send some of the excess dairy cows to Uganda.
Cows were airlifted to Africa from the UK, but they weren't unchaperoned bovines. Farmers flew over with these animals to make sure that the recipient families would be prepared with the necessary knowledge to tend and feed them. When the farmers were satisfied these cows were in good hands, they then could return home.
We actually call them founding farmers. Their still involved today. They're still supporting us. They're still praying for us. They're amazed by where it's gone from that crazy idea.
By the time Isaac's family got involved, the program had spread to Kenya. Isaac's family was a little incredulous that somebody would just give them a cow.
We didn't believe that somebody can be able to give you a gift of such magnitude. You know, in African community, a cow is a great, great, great deal, because that is your bank, that is the source of your milk, and it can be able to pay all your bills and sustain your life.
It was a momentous day when the cow arrived. Isaac remembers that it was actually a school day.
We were called to come home so that we can be able to receive a cow together. So we left the school. We went and we received it with joy. We took it home, all of us singing in joy.
Isaac's parents had decided on the name of Sherry for the cow. As was the standard procedure, the family received training from the Send the Cow organization. All these years later, Isaac remembers the man who instructed them.
He used to encourage my parents that everybody on this earth, if you work hard, you can make your life successful. We spent a lot of time looking at it, feeding it all the time, giving it water all the time, and ensuring that it is comfortable. Also, we were even giving it part of the vegetables that we were growing, because we thought maybe if it could eat, it could be even better, just because of the love we had for it.
It took only a short time for Isaac's family to begin realizing the benefits of this cow. For one thing, upon arrival, their cow was already 6 months pregnant. Because gestation for a cow is just about the same length as gestation in humans, this mama cow gave birth when she got to be 9 months along, which meant lactation in mama, for her calf, of course, but milk as well for the Ogutu family. In fact, this cow was soon producing 18 liters, almost 5 gallons of milk a day.
It broke the record in our entire district. There was no such a cow that had produced such an amount of milk, and it was joyous. People were coming to look at our cow. People were coming to ask us, how are you taking care of the cow? What is it eating? And we were happy to share with them what we were doing.
But their newly acquired farming knowledge wasn't the only thing Isaac's family shared with neighbors, because all along the plan had been to pay it forward, to give the calf, once weaned, to another family, to improve yet another family's economic prospects. This seems the right time to describe why the organization Send a Cow decided to change its name to Ripple Effect. Send a Cow might inaccurately be construed as the kind of giving that starts at point A and ends at point B, but the phrase Ripple Effect conveys much more. Here's CEO Paul Stewart again.
The Ripple Effect really is, it starts on an African farm, the training, but it doesn't stop there. And the continuation of it isn't by long-term investment by Ripple Effect. Actually, the source of the ripples becomes the farmers themselves as they share with their neighbors.
Even 24 years ago, when Isaac's family received their cow, the work of the organization had already evolved far beyond just supplying cows. The mission expanded more broadly to promoting best practices in maintaining soil health and conducting sustainable agriculture.
Often when the Ripple Effect team visit communities, visit farms, they see a lot of brown and a lot of hard soil around the house. The soil has become depleted. Farmers sometimes say, we didn't realize the land around us was productive. Nothing would grow on it. So one of the first lessons, which underpins everything, is saying those 6 inches under your feet are your treasure. That's a key message. If you look after those 6 inches under your feet and you restore the soil and you apply these practices, it'll become more productive.
With a cow, Isaac's family now had a ready source for the manure so important to revitalizing their soil. Nutrients could cycle through natural processes from cow to soil to plant crops. Once set in motion, this cycle produced its own ripple effects in the form of increased food production for Isaac's family and for other neighbors in the program.
The soil started becoming very fertile, the crops started thriving, and they started getting diverse food. So it is very important to pass more knowledge to farmers about growing other crops so that they can diversify their income, get more food.
Isaac's family sold fresh milk from their prolific cow, and if they couldn't sell fresh milk fast enough, there was also a market for sour milk. The cow bore a second calf, which through the program was given at no cost to another economically vulnerable family. Subsequent calves were then permitted to be sold for the Ogutu family's direct profit. Isaac's parents were now making enough money to cover school fees, and long story short, Isaac was eventually able to afford tuition at a university, and he became an agronomist. When Isaac Ogutu heard about an opening with Ripple Effect, he jumped at the chance to work with this organization that had brought greater prosperity to his own family. But even with his university degree, he still encounters resistance from people who doubt the wisdom of what he's teaching them.
Sometimes when introducing a new thing in the community, people are trying to resist it because they don't understand it.
Paul explained that even tried and true farming practices can first seem radical to many of the people he and his organization have worked with.
I remember going to one very remote community, and one of the people we spoke to, they hadn't touched money. They didn't know, weren't aware of what money was. So the idea of selling things to them to help their farming was just not, wasn't going to happen. So it really had to be working with what they had, working with the soil, sharing with neighbours. That's the only way. So our approach is working with often the little financial resources that people start with and building from there.
I am a living proof that if you do farming sustainably, you are really going to get a lot of benefit.
In this area of sustainable practices, repairing of degraded land goes far beyond just addressing poor soil on farms. Isaac teaches people, for instance, of the vital need to plant trees in areas not specifically dedicated to agriculture.
Trees are able to capture carbon and make our air clean. We have a lot of wind. It also helps to prevent wind from blowing away our houses. People have grass houses. So we need to ensure that they are growing trees. As they get the benefit of wind breaks, we're getting firewood to cook their food. They are also reducing climate change by trees capturing carbon that is in the atmosphere.
Working as he does today with Ripple Effect, Isaac's days can be strenuous and challenging.
My day is full of demonstrations, working with farmers, visiting them, encouraging them. Sometimes I'm exhausted because sometimes roads are not passable. We have to walk sometimes long distances to get to the farmers. There are muddy areas.
And of course, as any backyard gardener can tell you, sometimes Mother Nature just doesn't cooperate with you. Isaac spoke with me about inevitable setbacks that can almost devastate a family farm. He described how the tropics of Africa frequently receive hail, which he described as stones.
Rain comes with the stones. The crop is damaged badly that you cannot even harvest anything out of it. Everything is broken.
These hailstorms in Kenya, while fierce, typically come only once in a season. So in his role as an agronomist, he encourages farmers to quickly replant in order to still reap a harvest. He has to provide the same kind of encouragement after additional crises come in the form of floods or drought. Paul Stewart explains how Ripple Effect fosters local resilience and community interdependence in order to contend with such natural calamities.
We work through what's called self-help groups, and that tends to be 20 to 25 people. They work on each other's farms. They do the household training on helping build effective family relationships. The men, the women, the children, they do that together. That self-help group becomes a really strong unit, and particularly where they save together in the event of shocks. If a family has extra need, other families will come around and support them through that time.
Ripple Effect found a way to share condemned cows in England with families in Africa, but they also share with recipients in Africa a faith heritage in Christianity. That made it fitting for me as I spoke with Isaac Ogutu to bring up a certain New Testament scripture. I was curious about Isaac's personal sense of drawing on verses such as one found in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus tells his disciples not to hide their light under a bushel.
There are times I have to pray with my farmers so that God can help us, because I believe that whatever we do, we have to put God first so that God can bless it and make it flourish. This light of knowledge, the light of resilience, the light of teaching other people, lifting people out of poverty, that is the light that Ripple Effect carries.
If you'd like to help Ripple Effect, we have posted a link to their donation page on our website, which is byuradio.org/constantwonder. Many thanks to our guests from Ripple Effect, Farm Systems and Sustainability Officer Isaac Ogutu and CEO Paul Stewart. This episode was produced by Tenery Taylor with help from Amelia Scott. Anytime you'd like to hear earlier installments in this Advent series, you can find them at byuradio.org, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Tomorrow on Constant Wonder, what does this time of year have to do with the creation story from Genesis? One mother uses the season of Advent to teach her children about the wonder of the natural world.
The nature table is something fun to look at. It's something fun for them to help build. It was full of awe and wonder, because that's how children operate. They operate from that place. They're already there.
Building a Nature Advent Table, tomorrow on Constant Wonder. I'm Marcus Smith. Constant Wonder is a production of BYU Radio. Find us on the major platforms and be sure to subscribe. That way you will not miss another day of our audio calendar for the season of Advent.